time to tell them the Charlever Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Unfortunately, not Charlie Evers today, Glenn Coble and Scott Spears, but we're going to have a good time. Charlie Evers, our broadcasting icon, the gold standard in broadcasting, as far as I'm concerned, is still out recouping an energy issue. You know, when you get to be Charlie's age and you take a fall like he took back in March, that can happen. But as I said, I have visited Charlie this week and we have had a good time talking. And that's the update on Charlie at this point.
I found out that you were a special kind of person. You're the kind of person that prefers a book in the hand than two. What are those other things called? Those two electronic things in the bush.
Oh, yeah, Kindles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
One book in the hand versus two Kindles in the bush.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of with you, but I'm also one of those people that doesn't read. I'm a lot like our president. I have a little dyslexia, which actually if I start to read, I can guarantee you within 10 minutes of me picking up a book, I'll be sleeping.
You'll be out to lunch.
I just can't, I can't read. So I do a lot of my reading by listening. I do get, you know, books, electronic books and stuff like
that. Well, I wanted to take our first section of the program today to clear up the conversation we had yesterday, because in the middle of it, Jeff Ruth came in, and we never, and Jeff, we love you. I know you're out there listening.
Another icon.
Another... Listen, we're not going to go with that.
Okay.
That is an interesting conversation, though, to have. Because
we've had it a couple
but
times.
But it goes to where we're going here.
Yes, okay.
Listen, I've worked with Jeff. I like Jeff. Jeff is great. But here's the problem. I am not an icon. I'm not sure who icons are. And I think
I'm an icon.
You're an icon.
Yeah.
I think when we start calling everybody an icon, I think that diminishes the term. And I think that's the problem.
We need to look it up, the term.
We need
I
to figure out
that.
What that means. Yeah. Now, I think Jeff is, of course, well-known broadcaster. Right. Good broadcaster.
Did his job perfectly.
Yes, did what he needed to do. But to me... maybe it's perspective of people. I was lucky. I was thinking about this the other day, to be honest with you, and I think Jeff would agree with this. The three most well-known broadcasters in the 100, how long has it been? 1940 is when broadcasting started in Marion.
So 80 years.
80 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, 80 years this year. Broadcasting has been around. The three people who had the longest, had great longevity and most notoriety were Madge Cooper, Charlie Evers, and Jeff Ruth.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, they were the three.
Yeah.
And at this point, that's the way it stands until somebody else...
Jeff couldn't find a job anywhere else.
Find a job anywhere else. So those are the three that had the longevity. Uh-huh. So those would be the three you would say. But, and luckily, in my life, I got to work with all three of them. Mm-hmm. And so I know them all well, and I became friends with all three of them, interestingly enough. And it's interesting because if I was going to say icon, just for what Madge and Charlie did, I call them icons. And maybe it's just a time thing and an age thing. But, you know, Madge was going to New York as a woman in 1950. A lot of women were still at home doing dishes mm-hmm. in 1950. She was in New York getting the first Fashion Reporters New York, and not an Ohio award, a national award.
Sure.
For Little Marion, Ohio. That makes her an icon to me.
Well, then I'm an icon.
Well, but
I've got national
awards. You were a
woman
in the 50s?
No, but I got national awards.
No, national. Well, I got a national award. I don't think that makes me an icon.
Okay,
but I'm saying,
straighten that up.
I'm saying her age and stage at what she was doing at the time, I think made her
groundbreaking.
An icon. Yes,
yeah.
Groundbreaker. And also the fact that, two other things, she was the first person in Marion ever to be inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which I think says something.
It does.
And number two, she did her last broadcast when she was 99 years old.
That says a lot.
So that's something.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's why Madge is an icon to me. Charlie's an icon because he started things that we still do today, mm-hmm. like Buckeye Chuck.
That have changed Marion history. Yeah.
And stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Peanut
yeah.
Push and put Lady Justice on the back on top of the courthouse. Those three things right there. You don't even have to talk about Charlie Evers to know those things. That's why he, to me, transcended broadcasting. And he is the only other broadcaster in Marion who ever went into the Hall of Fame. He was number two.
I think Jeff is in the Sports Hall of Fame.
Right, but in the overall Broadcasters Hall of Fame, it's Madge and Charlie.
Yeah.
And so to me, they are the icons. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to expand that yet. Because I think when everybody's an icon, then it means less.
We're going to have to run over Jeff on the street.
No, I think Jeff. But you see, Jeff's career is not. And this is an age thing again.
Yeah, he's
Madge Madge is 99, and God bless her heart, she's gone.
Yeah.
Charlie is 85.
He's still going.
Still going. And so he's still making his career. And Jeff is in his 60s, and he's still making his. Now, Madge and Charlie didn't go into the Hall of Fame. Madge was in her 90s, and Charlie was in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jeff could go into the Hall of Fame, and he could get these accolades. And who knows what his second act is going to be. Charlie and Madge both had second acts in broadcasting. So, yeah, I think he has the potential to be an icon, but now...
He's not there yet.
No, I don't think so. And no slight on Jeff.
But, you know, there are a lot of people that would say people get to be icons because of longevity and not because of their work. But
well,
I think all three of those have done a fine job in their job.
Absolutely.
But the work probably is one step above with Charlie and with Madge. And I didn't know Madge. So, but I'm guessing just from hearing what she accomplished and what he has accomplished, probably a step above what Jeff has accomplished, even though I'll guarantee you there are a lot of moms and dads and kids out there right now that think that Jeff has accomplished everything under the sun.
This is history, and this is my gripe about history with everybody, not just broadcasters. If you took a poll right now, more people in Marion will know Jeff Ruth because he just left the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie has... He left the main station in 1995.
And then he came back to us.
And then he came back to us for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Madge has been gone since 2009.
Yeah.
So, of course, they would not be...
I wish I had met Madge.
Oh, she was a great lady.
Yeah.
Great
lady.
That's
what you've told me.
Yeah. But that's the thing. So you... I just... That's my philosophy. But Jeff is certainly... Working for any station, being around, being well known, yes.
You know, that just brings up another point. I started to think about who are other icons, national icons. And, you know, I bet everybody who is a national celebrity probably would be called an icon by somebody. Jimmy Durante, a guy that I played a. I led for him. Is he an icon? Probably most people would say no because they don't know who the heck he is. Phil Donahue, who you've had on several times and recently, is he an icon? Well, he might be.
Phil's an icon because, again, he has one of those accolades to his credit, first audience participation talk show, which are still around today.
Really, he had the
first one.
I didn't realize
all
that.
Talk shows before that were not issue oriented. They were Merv Griffin and they were Mike Douglas, and he was the first one that let audience members ask questions.
Ah,
so that's why he's an icon.
Even ahead of Carol Burnett.
Well, Carol Burnett didn't do that type of show. It wasn't exactly Madeline Murray O'Hare on Carol Burnett each week. But so
sorry,
and we never got to clearing up what we were going to clear up.
Okay, let's clear that up
about can money buy. Quality. That was the conversation yesterday.
And see, I think that's the way you framed it in your head, but that's not what I was...
But that was the question.
That was not my intent. My intent is that I think it's easier to get quality with money because you have a more talented pool because you can buy talent.
Right, but it doesn't always work in broadcasting.
No, I absolutely agree with that.
I'm saying you can't, if let's say you buy a station and you say, I've got a ton of money and I'm going to go out and buy the most well-known professional broadcaster in the business, doesn't mean you're going to be number one. That's right. What I'm saying.
Now, I wonder if Walter Cronkite had been bought away, if he would have remained
he retired at 65 and nobody else ever gave him a job the rest of his life. So there you go. We're going to break and we're coming back with this conversation right after this 60-second timeout pit stop. Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble in here for Charlie Evers on this Thursday.
I think we have more fun off the air, though.
Well, you know, I told a story. I don't know if you probably didn't hear this. You don't listen to my show. But
I'm asleep.
Oh, Glenn.
No, I'm taking care of my dog in the morning. So,
okay, here's what happened yesterday. During the 9 o'clock break, between 8 and 9, you know, 9 to 9:15, we get that little break. Something happened yesterday that I never thought I would be doing in a radio studio or...
Ooh, I've got lots of good ideas.
Okay, but here's the thing. When I came back on the air, you know, you have to talk about it in your radio brain because it just happened. But I realized once I started to talk about it, I couldn't tell the person's name because I think it would not be good for them. I wouldn't want to expose them. And I couldn't talk about what exactly happened because it's not in proper company to talk about.
So you're out of luck.
Right. So all I could say was, hey, during the break, I just did something really strange that I've never done anything in a radio, done in a radio studio before.
You're kind of vague a lot of things on your Facebook.
Yes, I am vague. Absolutely vague. But it's because I don't. First of all, I'll never trash anybody on Facebook.
Yeah, so, that's a good idea.
That's a given. So I'm never going to use anybody's name to trash them. And when I praise somebody, I also don't use their name because people are so touchy. You know, if people have...
Well, you can praise me anytime you want to, so...
Well, you know what?
Or trash me anytime.
Well, there are certain people who I will praise. I'll say that because I know that it's safe. I know it's absolutely safe. But there are other people that are so complex, and I don't think they realize how complex they are, that they have these relationships with other people, and sometimes if you say something about them, people take it the wrong way, and they get all bent out of shape.
Boy, I'm getting confused.
No, listen, if you have a friend who's a girl... and you're a guy,
mm-hmm.
and you praise them.
Oh, I got to be careful because I got a wife.
Right. That's it. Yeah. All of a sudden, you love them. All of a sudden, it's the best. And a lot of times, you just want to be praiseful of them. You just want to. The other night, I was praising somebody on Facebook, and I thought about it, and I thought, I don't think I can put their name in this because if such and such would read it, they might implicate it in another way. So that's why my posts are vague.
This is kind of interesting because after I met, and I won't mention the name of the young lady that we put on the air here, but I went home and I told my wife, I said, I met a really nice young lady today, and she's really pretty. And my wife said, oh, Glenn.
Well, we know who that is. We won't say the name, but we know who it is. And, but you see the problem that happens.
Yeah.
And I can tell you a story about this, and maybe it's why I became vague in a way. There was a girl who I was friends with.
That doesn't sound good, but go ahead.
How I became vague in a way?
Yeah. Kind of like you have no brain.
No, it was for a reason.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I had a friend who was a girl, and absolutely just friends. Absolutely just friends. And I praised them by name on Facebook for something they did that had nothing to do with even nothing remotely bad. It was good. I was a praise.
Mm-hmm.
And I tag them because, you want them to see it, that you're saying nice things about them.
I don't know how to do that, but yeah.
You say, I'm with this person is what you say.
Oh.
So I did this, and her intimates got angry about that.
Thinking you were coming on to her?
Thinking that I was either hitting on her or thinking that we had... It wasn't even so much that. It was thinking that we had something going on that we didn't.
Well, see, now I understand that because earlier in our relationship, I used to call you the Howard Stern of Marion, and that was because you do kind of come on in a interesting way, but now that I know you, I don't think you're coming on. It's just the way you speak to young ladies.
Well, you know what it is? Here's the thing. I imagine women have this problem with men who are their friends. When I'm doing a radio show, I'm going to ask you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe, I would hate myself if I didn't ask the question, yeah, but what about? Because I think people at home do that. When they hear an interview and somebody say, they go, yeah, but what about?
Absolutely.
And I want to ask that question. Well, a lot of times that question is very personal. And so people will interpret you as being intrusive, and they will interpret that, oh, there's something going on there.
Yeah. A lot of people think you're more friendly with the person you're interviewing than you really are.
Oh, yeah, you're not.
My interview yesterday with Dean Kaler. Dean is a great guy, and I knew him as a great person when I lived in Athens, and he was in Athens. But we weren't bosom buddies. We never went out together.
Well,
I did have people Facebook me thinking that we were bosom buddies.
But that's why I'm vague.
Yeah, I understand.
And so that's why. But I also, here's how I end up vague. I don't want to miss the chance to tell people that, hey, there are still good people in the world doing things.
Mm-hmm.
There are still good things going on. Matter of fact, and I can't use the name because I didn't at the time, but when this coronavirus first started, I knew that this happened. I knew one morning a lady called here on this station and asked for, she didn't have a car, she'd run out of money, and she needed somebody to go to the grocery store for her because she was scared to go to the grocery store. Somebody called her while I was still on the air that morning and did that, paid for her groceries, went to the grocery store, brought them to her. Now, at the time, I knew was that happened because the woman called back in and said, because of your station, thank you for letting me say that on the air. Great. I found out who that person was. Now, I knew I couldn't praise them because...
You could have praised the action, but not
them. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I praised the action.
Yeah.
I said, I saw an act of kindness today that is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But if you read that and you don't know the story, you think that's vague.
After following your Facebook a lot, I bet you probably didn't specifically explain what the good deed was.
No, because then they would know who it is.
Yes, then they would connect it.
They would connect it.
But if you don't explain what the good deed is, then all you're doing is throwing attaboys up into the air and nobody really...
But I think we need to do that more often.
Well, yeah. I would have, if I was listening to you, I would have liked to have known what the deed was. Not the person, but what the deed was.
Maybe in that case I did say the deed, but I probably didn't go into great detail.
Yeah. Well,
But I thought, man, wow. But I knew I couldn't mention the person's name because... People would take it the wrong way.
You never mentioned my name when I took a fan out to one of our listeners.
I think that person's still listening.
I'm sure she is.
No, but you know what? I have praised. I'll tell you people who I have praised from this station. I praise everybody at this station. A lot of times I will say, especially during anniversary or Christmas time, I'll tag everybody who works here. I'll say, this is the most family-oriented radio station I've ever been a part of. We do talk to each other. Mm-hmm. We don't shut the doors. We do show up to anniversary parties. We do show up to Christmas parties. Most people around here, if I said, oh my gosh, it's election night, I don't have anybody here, and I called them that afternoon, they would be here.
Yeah.
That's this station.
Yeah.
And that's not every radio station.
But we
station.
Get paid the big bucks.
Well, so. It's the big money here. That's yeah. right. It's the huge.
That's what we were talking about before.
But you know what? If money can't be your driver.
No, it can't. Well, it isn't mine.
And some people do make big money, so I don't want to say that that doesn't happen either.
There are people that are driven by.
I'm sure there are.
I know there are. I know them.
So I think we did cover up the money thing, right? We went through that again. We got that done.
Yeah.
We're
going to agree to disagree. For
I don't even know that we are disagreeing.
No, I don't think so either. We're coming at it from a different angle. That's
right.
All. Yeah.
I think you're just saying if you have more money, you can sway more people. But what I'm saying is, why would you want to sway more people? Because it doesn't always translate into what you need.
And I agree with that, too, yes.
Yeah, so that's all. So, if you got something that works, keep it.
So we need a hug.
Is that what it is? Yeah, a little hug, and we'll all be fine today. And we get our icon thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? Oh, I also want to say this, because I know there are a lot of fans of Jeff Ruth out there. I think Jeff would agree with me. I think Jeff would say that Madge and Charlie are the icons because he knew them too.
Oh, we even brought it up one time before when he came in, and he laughed just like we were laughing.
Well, he would say the same thing, I think. So this is not like I'm talking behind his back. I mean, it's just the truth. But I do think one day he could be an icon, but I think what Jeff will be an icon for is sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
I think he's very good at that.
Received his honor on that.
Yeah. I think he's very good at that, and I think that he also...
people don't know how hard that is.
Exactly, either. And I can't do it. And I think that he will have tremendous longevity. I don't think Jeff is going to stay retired. He's doing this thing right now, but I think he will do a show again. I think time will pass, and I think he will come back to a show like this.
I think we ought to offer him the big bucks to do a sports here on our station.
Well, I just...
You know, the big bucks, like $10 a month.
he hasn't even been retired a year yet.
No.
And I think there are extenuating circumstances right now with Jeff. Nothing bad. It's just I think he likes to travel.
Yeah, he does.
And his first time in his life, he's gotten to sleep in.
Yeah, and he has a son who gets him free airfare.
Got a son. And I also think that right now it's just, I don't think he misses it yet, but I do think he will.
Yeah, I don't think it's in his plans yet. Yeah.
No, but I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I do too, because he's pretty good at it, and I've watched him do, I broadcast for 35 years, something like that, and I've watched him, and he's better than I am.
And I think Charlie learned this as well. Charlie, you know, working 5 days a week and doing the agriculture report and doing all this stuff. And I think for a long time, Charlie hesitated to come back because, oh, God, I don't want to do all that work again.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff is thinking what he did when he was on the air. But you realize you can do 1 day a week. You can do 2 days a week. It's different. And you can just come in and do your 2 hours and leave.
We were talking about the other day about maybe... who could do different things if things happened? And I'm not going to go anywhere.
Well,
I would just
love to hear, honestly. And I asked Jeff this one time. I said, if I ever wanted to go on vacation, would you do my morning show? And he did say yes.
Good, absolutely.
Because I would be interested, because Jeff has not done this since he retired, to my knowledge. Actually, sit down live on radio for 2 hours, and he could do it. Sit down live on radio for 2 hours and talk.
He knows enough people and enough things that have happened around here.
Where
sure
he wouldn't have to, you know, because right now he's doing interviews. That wasn't really Jeff Ruth.
No.
And he's doing sports. That was something he did, but that's not where most people heard him.
Yeah.
They heard his morning show. So I would just like to hear him. It doesn't even have to be in the morning. I would love to hear him come sit in a room alone like Charlie did, take phone calls, have it be live, have it be in the moment, and see how it happens.
You know what's cool about Charlie, though? Charlie knows. I mean, it's not something I can do. I have no memory. Oh. He has memory of stuff that goes on for eons, it seems like.
I said this the other day, and because I know there will be a day when I do want to retire, but it's because of the type of broadcasting I do. It's interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at some point that... I will not be at the top of that game anymore.
Or you might just get tired of doing
it. Or tired of doing it. But that was not every broadcaster needs to retire. Charlie should go on until he's 150 because the type of show Charlie does is as entertaining today as it was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because it's about Charlie. It's personality driven.
Yeah.
And people love Charlie. And there, it's the Jack Benny thing. If the audience loves you, it's the best thing that can happen in the world. If they hate you, there's nothing they can do about it. And we have found out for over 50 years in Marion, people love Charlie,
yeah,
period.
They certainly do. Now, one of the things that I thought about, Johnny Carson kept on doing interviews like you're talking about for a long, long time. And he, I'm sure, did grow tired of that. But he did interviews and enjoyed himself during the interview. A lot of people who do interviews are working too hard to be too smart.
That's the problem. Yeah. And too much preparation.
Yeah.
Oh, too much preparation.
I put too much preparation in my interview for yesterday.
Yeah, see, I don't write questions. Yeah. So there's not a lot of preparation that goes into an interview that I'm doing. And I do it like a Shecky Green interview. I love it. Somebody brought up Joe Brown. I said, you only got to ask three questions. I said, that's a good day.
Yeah.
We're going to break. Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marion residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And away we go here. And by the way, after talking about all this, before we move on to the next subject, because I know Jeff listens from time to time, Jeff, come in sometime and sit behind the soundboard. You know, you don't have to do it permanently. Just try it one time. See how it goes. Wouldn't you like to see it?
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it. Sure.
What the heck?
Invitation's open.
Yeah. The pay is really high.
And we're just in the other room. It's not like if something bad happened, we couldn't run in and help you. There's always somebody else in the building.
That just doesn't seem natural to have to help Jeff anyway in front of
Oh, Jeff is not technically savvy.
Oh, no.
Okay. He would say that.
Okay.
He could do what Charlie did. He could run the soundboard. He could take phone calls. But this computer... would be a whole nother thing.
I kind of engineered Charlie's
show. That's what I'm saying.
Getting him on
I think it'd be
off,
the same type of thing with Jeff.
Yeah.
But now, moving on.
Okay.
And by the way, Jeff, if you have any rebuttals, it is live radio.
You can call
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I was going to say this yesterday, though, and like I said, I love Jeff. I've worked with him for many years now, but he looked like he crawled out of a boxcar yesterday when he came in here. Did you not notice that?
What's the guy's name that's in Back to the Future, the white-haired old...
Christopher Lloyd.
He looked a little bit like his hair was going everywhere yesterday.
Well, Jeff has grown a beard.
Yeah.
I've never seen Jeff with a full beard like that.
Well, we're all getting a little long in the hair length. Mine is way too long.
Well, hair is different.
Yeah.
But a beard, a full-grown beard.
Yeah. You can shave. That's one of the things. I don't understand why so many people are deciding they want to grow beards during this. Because you can shave your face. I mean, you don't need a barber for that.
And now, our first hot topic.
Uh-oh.
In the last 13 minutes of this hour.
Is it about girls?
No, it was earlier on, okay. And I told you about it during the break. The conversation this morning was, who's your 3 a.m. person? If you were in a trauma, were in a panic, if you needed somebody to come over to your house, who would you call, not a family member? Because family members usually are number one on that list.
Well, I'm going to bore the audience to death. No one. I would call whoever could take care of the problem I had. If it were a mental problem, I know a psychiatrist. If it were a emotional problem, I would call a minister that I know very well here in town. I would call if my plumbing blew up. I know a plumber in town. That's who I'd call. Whoever could take care of my problem.
I'm talking about emotional. Like, say somebody died in the middle of the night.
Okay,
and it really shook you up.
Okay, well,
who would you call?
I don't get terribly shaken by that sort of news, but I would call Reverend Kiger.
Who is not a friend.
Huh? Who is?
No.
He's not a friend?
No, I'm. Oh, he probably is your friend, but
he's a very good friend of mine. He married my son. Well, not directly.
Well, you got offensive there, Grant. You took that personal.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not. He's your friend, but is he your? He would be your go-to on everything.
Yes, he would. I mean, on emotional things like that. Yeah.
Because he's a good friend. Because this is the follow-up question: what is the trait in that person that makes them that person?
You'd have to know Reverend Kiger. And I think there are a lot of people in this town that know Dan very well and would absolutely agree with me, because he was our Methodist minister down in Athens for several years. Like I said, he married my eldest son. he's a lot like my father. And he got in trouble here in Marion, I'm sure. Now, he's never told me this, but I'm guessing from hearing other people talk about it that he got in trouble because he was a liberal Methodist minister. And I'm liberal. So his ideas of how to treat people run right down the same line with me.
Okay, now, is there anybody who would call you at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Nobody.
No, why would they call a stupid guy like me?
Well, here's what I came to this morning during my show is, because about 2 months ago, because when you live alone, you know, sometimes there might be a time you should call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there probably was a time 2 months ago, without going into the story, that I should have done this. Now, I didn't, and it turned out okay, obviously, but I was thinking, there's nobody who I would call. There's nobody who is that person for me. There's no, not that, I mean, there could be, there have been people who've offered, but I would never do it. Because I have a disease where I can't call people.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday.
That
yeah. My wife has that same disease, and I'm not afraid of calling people. When I was kind of jesting when I said there isn't anybody that would call me at 3 in the morning, I would hope there are people that would call me. I'm a pretty empathetic person, but I just can't put my finger on anybody.
Well, I've told the story, and I told it earlier, and I'll tell it again, because I'm that way, I'm repetitive. About 2 months ago, somebody called me, phone rang at 6:30 in the morning, and I thought, I was already awake, getting ready to come in here, and I thought, oh, something bad has happened, or, you know, what is this, 6:30 in the morning? And it was somebody who had a bad night. Oh. It was a friend.
Knew you were awake, probably.
Maybe they didn't, maybe they didn't, but they just wanted to talk. And, you know, I was the person they called. And at the time, it was inconvenient because I did have to get here and I was getting ready. But when I look back on that, I now think I feel closer to that person because they felt that I was the one that they could call.
Yeah, I can understand that. And that's why I said I would like to be that person. But I can't imagine anybody would do it to me. I do have an interesting one, though.
Go ahead.
And this isn't a person that calls me intentionally. I have a lady, and I don't know her name. She has called me no less than a dozen times. And I can tell her voice instantly. She's an African-American lady from Columbus. And I'm guessing that she's an African-American lady. She just has kind of... she sounds that way. I'm sorry if that's... prejudiced or anything, but she calls me up and she says, oh, I've done it again. And we've talked a couple of times, and she's had a stroke, and she doesn't dial correctly, and my number is one digit off of her son's number, so she calls me, and each time she is so apologetic, and each time, and I tell her, don't worry about it, you can call me anytime, but I like talking to her, and we only talk for 20 seconds, because when she says goodbye, we both say goodbye, and I hope you're doing well, and stay healthy, and she always says, and I hope God will bless you, and that's such a nice thing to say. She doesn't know I'm an atheist, but it's such a nice thing to say, and I hope that people feel that I'm a comfortable person no matter what their religious background is or their ethnic background.
Here's the thing that I think is important. I'm trying to figure out what the qualities are in this person that you would have to call at 3 o'clock in the morning, or what your qualities are that you would be their go-to person.
Well, you have to have a lot of trust.
Well, but yeah, and somebody said this earlier on who called, a very astute person, said, because they were talking about their 3 a.m. person, and they said, who's not a family member, but they said they're like family.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Yeah. Because you never are really worried about inconveniencing your family.
Yeah.
As much as you are a friend.
Yeah.
So that's when you know, when that person feels like family. Because it's kind of funny, if you're married, or you're in a relationship, really, you don't mind inconveniencing that person, even though they are not related to you, they're not born into your family. But you don't mind inconveniencing them. Now, if that relationship ends, or you get a divorce, or whatever, you all of a sudden mind inconveniencing them more than you did when the relationship was together, especially when you don't have kids. So that can change. And I think that's it, though. But I think when they're living with you, when you're with them, they do feel like family. But that's the key. They got to feel like family. There's got to be something about them that you feel so close that there is absolutely no pretense left in your relationship where you think they are going to get mad, or you're going to get off that phone and think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I probably bothered them. Because you never get off the phone with your parents and say, oh, I shouldn't have bothered them. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. It does?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
I remember feeling that. You know, that you've got my brain going nuts now.
I don't care.
Well, we know that.
Now, I think, well, my parents should be lucky enough to get a call from me.
You got my brain going crazy.
It's an interesting subject, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Reverend Kiger, I don't socialize with him.
Isn't it interesting an atheist would have a reverend be his person?
Yeah, but he's, well, yeah, it is interesting.
The ironies of life. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was the youngest of 9 kids, and my mom always had a way. If I don't care what time of day or night, she would call me.
Huh.
And I'd be in there. I'm south of town, and she lived in there. And I'd be there in 5 minutes. I don't care what time of night it was.
Would your siblings also do the same thing, or were you the only one of the 9 that was willing to pick up and go?
I think my other brother would have, but he worked so much that he probably wasn't home.
Yeah.
But I was always there for her, you know, because I just thought she needed me and I needed her. So.
Weren't you lucky, and wasn't she lucky?
Yeah.
Really?
Because you know, a lot of my brothers live out of town, out of state. So,
yep.
You know, it was depending on us two here in the Marion area. So.
Is she still with us?
Oh, no. She passed away, and my dad did, too.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
But she, if she needed comfort, I don't care if she needed medicine, I would go after her.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. My mother had horrible arthritis, and my brother and sister lived out of town, but I lived in the same town, and I would go over to her house every night, and we'd walk, and that's another story that will break your heart, but I'm not going to go into it. But it, you know, having a parent that you can do that for makes you a better person, I think.
I was with her up to about midnight the night that she died.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Mom, I'm going to go home for a little bit. And I didn't no more than hit my front door, and the phone rang, and she passed away.
That's got to be both heartbreaking, but also you were with her to pretty much the last time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we appreciate personal stories like
great
that.
Great story.
740-383-9944. You know something that popped in my head there? I did have a family member. I've forgotten this. Who was still living alone toward the end of their life, but was starting not to feel so great, probably about the last year of their, but they still lived alone right up till the end.
Yeah.
And I lived probably a few miles from them. And yeah, they would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that did happen quite a bit And I would go over and see what was going on. And
you never felt imposed on?
No, yeah, never did, never
that
did. And I'll tell you, one night this person said to me, and this is a weird irony how life works. One night this person said to me, if anything ever happened to you, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, that'd break your heart.
Well, when they left us, mm-hmm, when they went on to their reward, one of the things that was comforting to me was I thought, well, they'll never have to live in a world where I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because they had said that.
Yeah.
So it's weird, the things that hit you, you know, different.
That's interesting that you felt that way.
Yeah, that was one of the comforting things about it.
A lot of people would say, oh, I'm not going to be there because she's gone and I'm here. But she doesn't have to live without you.
Yeah, because she had made that statement.
Yeah.
If anything happened to you, I don't know what I would do because I was her go-to person. And when somebody says that to you, that is probably, to me, you can tell people you love them, you can tell people you hate them, you can tell people you like them, you can marry people, whatever. But if you that's a statement to me that you will take forever. If anything happened to you, I don't know what I would do. That's saying you are an essential factor in my life. And it did comfort me when she did go, because that's one of the first things that popped in my head. She will never live in that world.
Well, one of the things, and I know we're getting awful close, but one of the things that being an atheist a lot of people ask me, how can you do that? Well, I'm happy for my friends who have a good religious background because they have something to think about when they're going on. I have something to think about, and someday I will explain to people why I'm comforted. I'm not afraid of death.
So just remember, think about this phrase, people, and tell somebody today. If it's true, now don't lie.
Yeah.
But if you really feel this way about somebody, you don't have to say you love them, you don't have to say you hate them, but say, you are important to my life. If you weren't a part of it, I really don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
People, that's meaningful.
Yeah, it is.
We're coming back on the other side of the break.
What's going on? I mean, the president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field, and I believe that we're going to have one or two wins coming out of there.
Night here, it's great time.